everyone. This is Steve Donahue, another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This is number 54, and what we're going to talk about today is teaching your kids to work. It's really important to be able to pass on to the next generation a good work ethic, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. Look at some of the things I have learned. Of course, I have not by any means... If you came to my house, you wouldn't see children running around doing all kinds of work delightfully all day long. But there are some things I have learned in working with my kids and some of the things I've tried to implement. So I'm going to try to pass that on to you. Hopefully it should be a good show for you. Before I do that, I want to direct you to the website. First of all, make sure that you are keeping up with all of the updates. Best way to do that is to register as a user to the website. You can do that on the right column, where it says register, and that will enable you to get all of the updates through email. Anytime there's an update to the website, it'll let you know. Also, it will enable you to make comments under each of the episodes if you'd like to do that. And I do encourage you to make comments. If you have further information you want to add to a podcast or to an episode, and that would be a good place to do it. You can also just make comments about it, and that would be a great way for me to interact with you. Best way to make comments or give me feedback, though, is to email me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com, and that will come right to me, and I'll be able to answer your question through email. Appreciate those of you who have done that, and I would love to have more of you doing that. And then be sure that you're following us on all the various social media. You can do that through Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And connect with us on all those. Share us with your friends and family so that we can continue to grow the community. And then finally, consider becoming a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is the way that you can support the show and continue to enable me to spend the time that I do to get all these podcasts ready and provide the information necessary. And you can be a part of the Legacy community that way. And it's $30 or $3 a month commitment. And with that, you get about $50 worth of value, get access to our exclusive members-only page, which does have the $50 worth of value. Plus, it enables you to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. I think it's about 20 cents an episode, but less than a quarter you can support each show. So if you listen to these and you say, well, you know, that was worth 25 cents, then consider becoming a Legacy Partner. That takes care of the intro segment. So let's go ahead and talk about ways in which we can teach our kids to work, or how do we do that, and why do we do that. I want to start with the question of why. That's probably more important than the how, although we'll spend more time on the how. With reference to the why, you know, we are given in Genesis, God gave man a dominion mandate where he says to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. And he gave man dominion over all the creatures of the earth, put him in the garden to tend and to keep it. And although through the fall in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were removed from that place in Eden where they had the magnificent abundance in it, the dominion mandate was not taken away because of the fall. And so we are still commanded to be fruitful, multiply. We're still commanded to tend and to care for the earth and for creation. And of course, that means that we are to be involved in work. And even because of the fall, the work has gotten more difficult for us. And so it is the way in which we fulfill the dominion mandate is to be involved in work. And so it's really important that we teach that to our children. I think one of the things that is sorely lacking in our culture today is a work ethic, especially among young people. I want to tell just a real quick story one time. A couple of years back when we first moved into our home here, there was a neighbor kid that came over that was a little bit younger than my oldest boy. And he came over one day and wanted to play with Graham. Of course, Graham's never been much of a player in, you know, playing with boys like that that would come over. But he came over and, you know, he asked Graham if he, you know, plays DS or he plays Game Boy, all these different kinds of things. And of course, Graham said he didn't play with all those. So he asked the boy that was there if he wanted to help him, you know, move the sheep or feed the chickens or whatever. So the boy helped for a little bit. And then he went back home. And we have a neighbor farmer nearby who, you know, works the land where this boy lives. And later got talking to him. And the word got back to us that, you know, the boy never came back. And the reason the boy never came back is he said, you know, all that boy does over there is work. So that's actually a good thing in a lot of ways that he's known for that. And, you know, that's a great work ethic to have. And so we want to pass that on. The second reason why is it's the means to prosperity. The Proverbs is full of passages talking about the sluggard and not working when it's time to work so that you can save up and rest when it's not time to work. And the pattern that God has given us in the Scriptures is for us to work 6 days a week, to rest one, and those 6 days need to be diligently involved in work. And the prosperity that comes from hard work, you know, I was once told that you can outwork about 90% of the people. So if you're looking at, you know, starting a business and being in competition with other people, you can outwork about 90% of the people. The last 10%, it's going to be a dogfight. You're going to have to work hard and go beyond working hard. You're going to have to, you know, be full of integrity. You're going to have to, you know, do things beyond the call of duty to excel beyond that 10%. But the first 90%, it's just guts. It's just working hard. And so that's the means by which we achieve prosperity, is through hard work. Number three is it reflects the nature of our Creator. I already mentioned that the 6 days of labor and the 1 day of rest was the pattern that God gave us from creation. And by this, we are to model our work. And that is that we are to work in such a way that we have 1 day of rest each week. And that day of rest gives us the rejuvenation, gives us the trust and dependency upon God, so that the rest of the days of the week, we are working hard and working diligently. So when we do that, it reflects the nature of the Lord, who continues to work to this day. Now, although creation has been made, he's not a deist. He doesn't sit back. He continues to interact with his people. He continues to plan and plot the course of history. And so those are the reasons why we want to work, is because work is a part of the dominion mandate, because it's the means of prosperity, and because it reflects the nature of our Creator. So how is it then that we can instill in our children a good work ethic? Well, number one, we need to model it. We need to model the behavior that we want in our see in our kids. If you work hard and you work efficiently and you work joyfully, your kids will pick up on that. You know, there's something to be said about the father who comes home from work and he's always grumbling about his work. He's always grumbling about his job. He's always complaining about the people he works with, or his vendors, or his boss or managers, or, you know, whatever it is. The kids pick up on that, and what they're picking up is that work is not something that brings joy. Work is something that is you have to do, but it's not something that you want to do. And how much better is it if you can do work that you love? And that's really what our goal is for most people, is to be able to be put in a position where they can do the work that they love. And you know, so I want to just give an admonition to the parents out there, particularly the fathers who are in a job where you hate it, and it is reflected in your attitude. You come home and it's demonstrating to your children that you hate the job. Well, a couple of things. Number one, you need to change your attitude so that they don't see that anymore, and they are really able to learn then that even in the difficult circumstances of a job you don't like, you can be joyful and work hard through it. So either do that or get yourself another job. Why waste your life working at a job that you hate? So either learn to love your job and appreciate the benefits that it provides you, or get yourself another job. But you need to model what you want to see in children. So if you want to see your children grumbling and complaining and fussing about their work, then you do that. But if you want to see your kids joyful and happy and excited about your work, well, then you need to model that. And as I say that, I'm convicted that I also grumble and complain about my work too often in front of my children. So anyway, number one, model it. Number two, assign work by task, not time. Assign work by task, not time. Instead of asking them to go and weed the garden for an hour, for example, designate a certain area, maybe rows if you got rows, or plots or beds, or however you've laid out your garden, and gardening is the task that you've assigned them to, picking weeds, for example, then, you know, assign it by area, or assign it by row, or assign it by vegetable, or whatever it is, but don't assign it by time. What assigning by time ends up doing is it makes them waste the time because they're only trying to fulfill a certain time period and not actually complete the task. But when you give them a task and orient them towards that task, then they are able to work harder at it and complete it. They become more accountable to that task. In other words, they're not out there just to spend and waste time. They're actually out there to be held accountable to a certain task. It also helps them to work more efficiently with that. And by the way, this principle here should be true. If you have employees at work or whatever it might be, this is a good principle. And most of these principles actually would apply in more than just working with your kids. But they learn to be more efficient by being able to work for a task rather than working for time. It makes them more efficient in their work because they're concentrating on being able to get done with the task in the most efficient manner. And of course, when they get done with the task, then you can either get them another task, you can give them time off or free time or whatever they've been wanting to do. And that makes them want to figure out the most efficient way of doing something rather than the slowest way that will get the least work done, which is how they do it if you just assign them by time. And then number three is assign work that matters most of the time. Now, I say most of the time because sometimes they need to do work that doesn't matter. Sometimes they just need to do busy work because we all have to do that at times. That's just part of life. And so assigning them work just to work is sometimes good for their character. But most of the time what we should do is we should assign them work that really matters, not just busy work, not just work because it's work, but work that can matter. And, you know, most of the work that your kids should do should have some kind of impact. For example, if removing stink bugs from the squash plants is what task you have given them to do in the garden, then, you know, explain to them how this is serving a purpose in the overall plan of the garden, how they are serving as a predator because there are very few predators for the stink bug, that kind of thing. You explain to them the whole purpose and the plan for what they're doing so that it has some meaning. They're not just out there wasting their time slapping stink bugs off the squash plants. And if it's filing papers in a cabinet for an attorney, then explain how important it is to keep those papers confidential and in order so that they can be found and so that, you know, the information isn't lost and, those kinds of things. And so explain to them the impact of the work that they do and give them quality work that will matter. And then number four is clearly communicate the task. Now, I've erred in this in times past by assuming that my kids know what it is that I want them to do. And I have just assumed that they would know how to do it as well as what to do, and I was wrong. We need to be very clear as to what the task is and what we expect from them in that task. Now, especially until the kids know what it is exactly that you want them to do. If they've done something repeatedly over and over again and they're starting to get the hang of it and they know exactly what your expectations are in that, well, then you can, you know, your communication can be less at that point, but especially up to the time in which they have learned that. It needs to be very precise and very clear. You know, I can give you a personal experience of this. I learned that I couldn't just tell my son to go water the seedlings in the greenhouse because I would go out there and sometimes they'd be waterlogged. Other times they would be, you know, barely misted. And so I had to explain to him what it meant to water the plants in the greenhouse. And you know, I had to tell him to water the sub-irrigated planters until water came out of the seep hole, for example. And it had to be very, very clear. Show them where the seep hole was and, you know, how the water was supposed to come out of there when they watered it and, you know, so forth. And so being very clear and communicating that would help. And then number five, pay them for production. Now, I don't pay allowances, and I don't think that that's a very good plan. It teaches the kids that they should get something for free. And so I don't do allowances, but I do pay my kids when they help me with various tasks. And I also don't pay them for doing chores, regular chores, you know, dishes or cleaning their room or thing like that. That's not part. In other words, basically, I pay them when they do something that helps earn money for the family. And cleaning the house and things like that, you know, if we had a better breakfast, okay, maybe. But we don't have a bed and breakfast, so cleaning the house doesn't count. But But when they work in the garden, when they work in, you know, work with the rabbits, when they clean windows with me, when they file papers for my other business, whatever it might be, then I am able to pay them accordingly for that. And so, you know, about 3 or 4 days a week, my third oldest son takes care of feeding and watering the rabbits. And so as a result, I pay him some of the money that the rabbits bring in when they go to, when we butcher them and they go to market and sell. Then I pay him a percentage of that. So what is that teaching him? Well, first of all, it teaches him he doesn't get paid right away. He gets paid when the job is done and he's contribute to the purchase, or he's contributing to the production of that. And it also teaches him that, you know, his work does have value. So obviously it doesn't feed the rabbit and it dies. Well, then he's not going to get paid as much as he would if he had kept the rabbit alive. And so it teaches him some responsibility there. And you know, you can decide what is reasonable in this, obviously, depending upon what business you have or what tasks you're asking him to do. You know, if you don't have your own family business or something like that, then, you know, maybe they're helping by reducing some of your expenses. So, then you can, you know, pay him, pay them a percentage of what they're reducing the expenses on. Whatever it might be. But when one of my kids, I'll give you another example, when my kids come clean windows with me, which they often like to do, then I will pay them a percentage of what is completed that day in terms of, you know, what I get paid. And so I usually pay them one half to one times their age as a percentage. So, for example, a 10-year-old comes with me, he would get 5 to 10% of what was made that day. And the difference, of course, depended upon his quantity and the quality of the work that he was able to do. And it kind of gives me kind of a baseline for that. Now, obviously, that's just my business. I figured that out for me and what that works for them and for me. But if you've got another business, you've got a different model, of course, just do that. But just make sure that it's comparable. And, you know, our government has wages that we have to pay based upon, you know, the law in terms of, you know, minimum wages and all that kind of stuff. But in a family business, you don't have to worry about that. And I wouldn't worry about it anyway with your kids. Pay them accordingly to what they do, and that they will appreciate it, and you'll benefit from it. And it's a good way to teach them. So pay them for production. Number six, restrict other options. You know, I found that kids are much more willing to do work when they don't have the options of entertainment readily available. So let's face it, you know, playing computer games, Beyblade, soccer, video watching, whatever it is that they like to do, all is more fun than working. I mean, you know, you and I, who are working regular jobs, we also would have things that we probably would rather be doing, hobbies or something, that would take precedence over our work if we didn't have to work, but we have to work. And so we have to limit the outside distractions so that they will have the time and have the willingness to do the work. And so restrict other options. Number seven, encourage them in the work. This is hard for a lot of parents to do, especially when the kids are young and they don't do the job as well as you would like to see them do, but they put forth a good effort. We need to recognize that when they do that. And sure, it's a lot easier to point out the two or three things they did wrong, or, you know, the one speck of dirt on the pan that they cleaned for the dishes, rather than to encourage them in all the things that they did do right. But encouragement goes far better than discouragement does. And so we need to be encouragers when it comes to this. My oldest son, I had tasked with doing most of my faxing for a while. My second oldest son was doing that. And sometimes you'd put the paper in upside down, but most of the time he put it in right. And so a few times the fax would go through and I'd get an email from the person he faxed it to saying that, you know, it came out, you know, wrong or something like that. And I could easily fuss at him for that, or I could just have him redo it and explain to him and encourage him when he did it right. And it's a lot better when you can encourage him to do what's right by encouraging rather than discouraging. You've heard the saying before that honey attracts better than vinegar. And that's really a pretty good policy, especially when it comes to your kids and training them in this. You want them to be encouraged and not discouraged. And then number eight, inspect what you expect. This is a phrase I heard years ago, And it's a good one, that whatever you expect from somebody, it's a value for you to inspect their work so that you can give feedback to them so that later they can rise to the expectations that you have. So we just talked earlier about encouraging your children and giving them, you know, a clear direction, and then also, if they don't quite meet up to your expectations, to still encourage them. But you still need to give feedback, and you need to inspect their work so that you can give them proper feedback. If you don't inspect their work you have assigned, how can you then give them this feedback? If you expect a child to do something, you must also be courteous enough to inspect their work. It's actually a way of encouraging them to inspect your work. If you give them an assignment and then you never inspect it, what is that telling them? It's telling them you really don't care. You really don't want it done. But if you inspect it, then they understand that it's important work and that it's something that's worth doing well. Then after a while, if you feel they're doing a good enough job, well, then you explain to them, look, I've inspected your work now over this 5-10 times that you've done this, and I know you're doing a good job. Keep up the good work. Maybe I'll check back another time, but I'm not going to check back every time, so forth. And that way, they know that there's still the potential for inspection. I mean, you know, you think about it. In the military, if you knew there was going to be inspection, we had to make sure that all of our shoes were polished correctly. But if we knew there wasn't going to be inspection, we would cut corners here and there. And so it's important, if we want to teach our children good work ethic, that we need to inspect them and help them to know what the expectations are in the inspection. So anyway, those are nine ways in which you can implement some strategies to help your kids have a good, strong work ethic. And by doing that, you can pass on a legacy of work and prosperity to the kids. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Maybe you are already implementing some of these. Maybe you are in the process of trying to start a family business, or maybe you just started one. You're trying to figure out how to implement your kids in it. Maybe your kids are real young yet and they're just getting started. Or, you know, whatever your situation is, hopefully you can take some of these things, some of these principles, some of these strategies, start implementing them as they fit into your family, and by doing so, create within your children a strong work ethic that is a legacy in itself. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Only for the cause of Christ.